Thank the Lord this morning that the Lord is everything that we need. And I know there are times in life for all of us that things happen and things that we encounter and face in life, whether it's something personally or situations of life, and it seems like we may not have the resources to deal with it. But when we look to the Lord, I found that He has provided everything that I have needed to make it through and come out on the other side, still having the peace of God, still having victory, and still having the grace and the love of God. That's wonderful this morning. And I am so thankful that God has provided a wonderful plan of salvation for us. I've written on the board the little phrase that God has just been, the Spirit of the Lord has just been, it's been resonating day after day after day in my heart and in my mind, a city not forsaken. In 1940, those of you that recall your history just a little bit, Hitler's army was marching on Paris. And the word came, and they didn't really think it was going to happen, if I remember correctly. But finally, they recognized it was a reality. And Hitler's forces were approaching the city, and there was a great exodus from the city of Paris. The train stations were packed with people because they were trying to get out of the city. The roads were full of people on bicycles and buses and cars because people were exiting the city because there weren't forces there to protect it. And as you know, a little bit of the history of France, they surrendered. They made an alliance with Hitler, but yet they surrendered to him rather, but yet they left the city in a great exodus. Moving from there, thinking about the Vietnam War, those of you that have studied a little bit, and I actually looked this up because I remembered some of it, but it took place in 1975, April 30th of 1975 was the fall of Saigon. And if you will recall, there were many, many people, I believe it said 130,000 people that were being airlifted out of the city because American forces were leaving the city. They had left. They had decided we're not going to keep fighting this war. And in essence, they gave up. They gave up, they packed up, and they went home, and there was an exodus of that, and the North Vietnamese army came in and took over. There were many, many people that lost their lives through torture after that time because the city had been forsaken by the ones that could have stayed and helped defend the city. Those of you that have been reading the news have heard about the refugee crisis in Syria. Civil war in Syria started in, I believe it was 2011. So it's been going on for 4 or 5 years now. There have been 4.5 million Syrian refugees, people that have left the country of Syria to escape the civil war. Now there have been many more millions that have been displaced from their homes, even within the country. But it was because they did not have the wherewithal to stand and protect and defend their cities and the places where they were, and the enemy has come in and taken over. I'd like to read to you from the scripture in the book of Jeremiah, in the 52nd chapter, about another city that was forsaken. Jeremiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 12. It said, "In the fifth month, in the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem." So here we find one of the greatest empires of all time, the Babylonian Empire, under King Nebuchadnezzar. They came to Jerusalem. And they did not come bearing gifts. He said, "They burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were in the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about And you read on verse 15, it said, they carried away captives, certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude. This was a city, if you will just get in mind, the city, when Nebuchadnezzar came, they conquered the city of Jerusalem. They went and they burned, and they took the house of God, the temple, that was there to worship the Lord, and they burned it, they destroyed it. And they went and they burned the houses of Jerusalem, a very large city. And not, they didn't stop there, they broke down the walls, the things that were there to protect the city. See, walls aren't around cities just to look nice. They are there for protection. And King Nebuchadnezzar had the walls of Jerusalem broken down because he didn't want to have to march back on the city. He was going to destroy that city and break the backbone of its power, and then he took the people captive. In Isaiah chapter 64, we read just a little bit more what the prophet said about the city of Jerusalem in its destruction. Isaiah 64 verse 10, it said, the holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Zion, the place to worship God. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, which our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and our pleasant things are laid waste. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, and it was destroyed. It was left desolate. Here, the prophet Isaiah speaks very similarly as did the prophet Jeremiah, but he said here, the holy cities are a wilderness. There's nothing left. It's desert, in other words. Zion is a wilderness. There's no place to find refuge anymore. There's no place to find when the enemy comes. There's no city to run to get behind the walls to defend yourself because it's in desolation. And this is the reason why when the children of Israel, they were taken captive and they were taken to Babylon, remember? And that's where we read the stories about the three Hebrew children. They were in captivity in Babylon. We read about Daniel in captivity in Babylon and how God blessed their life because they stayed faithful to God, unlike many of the other children of Israel. We read over in the book of Psalms, 137, the 137th Psalm. This is speaking of the children of Israel who would have their city made desolate. The walls broken down. No place to worship the Lord anymore. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. In other words, the Babylonians came along to the children of Israel, they taken captive, and they said, sing us a song. We like to hear your culture. If you've traveled, you like to hear other people's culture. Sing us a song. I've asked that question many a time and asked that. Sing us a song. And so the Babylonians told the children of Israel, sing us a song. And the children of Israel said, we sat by the rivers of Babylon and we wept. And they weren't playing anymore. They weren't playing their harps anymore. It said, we hung them up on the willow trees. In other words, there's no joy left. And they went on to explain, they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we rejoice? How shall we give God praise? How shall we sing about the Jerusalem and the beautiful temple? How can we do that? Because Jerusalem is been laid waste. And we're in captivity. It's a very sad picture, isn't it? How shall we sing a song? We've hung our harps up. Do you know today there are people that have hung their harps up? There are people today spiritually. They look at the condition of our world and they've hung their harps up. Now I got about 30 seconds of the Sunday school lesson this morning when I walked in to get some books. There are people that have lost their hope. and they've hung their harps up. What is there to be happy about? What is there to be rejoice about? Everything's dark. Everything's gloomy. Everything's bad. The enemy's stronger than we are. We can't do anything about it. That was the condition that the children of Israel were in. They were in captivity. Their hope had been shattered. Their dreams, their place of worship had been destroyed. Their homes had been burned. I remember when the tornado went through Moore, Oklahoma many years ago. And Renee and I drove through there. It was utter destruction. I remember looking at the neighborhoods and they were laid waste. There were no homes standing. The tornado had come and just wiped it. And there were boards and roofs caved in and walls falling down. But do you know today if you went back to that neighborhood, do you know what you would find? It's been rebuilt. But at the time, it had been destroyed. And you know, there are a lot of very sad people because their homes had been destroyed. The homes had been burned, it said. Now turn with me over back to Isaiah in the 35th chapter. The scripture here tells a beautiful story. We're seeing a story of sadness here. A story of destruction. But let's keep reading. Isaiah chapter 35. The 35th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 7. And this is a prophecy. And the parched ground shall become a pool. And the thirsty lands of springs, and the thirsty land, springs of water. Moving verse 8, he said, and a highway shall be there and a way. Do you know that a highway, by definition, is a place built up? If you've ever looked at it when they're building a highway, it's a place built up. Now, I've been on some highways in other countries. It's about that thick. But a highway is supposed to be a place that is built up, a place of security, a place with a firm foundation. And it said, there shall be a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lions shall be there. Do you know when the walls of the city are broken down, the wild animals come into the city? But here it said, there's going to be a way. It's not just a desert now. Where there was a dry land, now there's pools of water. It said, there is a way. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. Those that were one time in captivity are going to return. And it said, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall attain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know what that's talking about? When the children of Israel were released from captivity in Babylon, and wasn't it King Cyrus that allowed them to return to Jerusalem? Do you know they took their harps down off the tree? Before they were saying, how can we sing? We're captives in a strange land. But when they had permission to go back, they took their harps down and the ransom of the Lord returned to Zion. We're going home. And they went home and the walls were rebuilt. The temple was restored and they had cause to rejoice one more time. This was a prophecy of that being fulfilled with literal Jerusalem and Zion. But folks, there's a spiritual prophecy that has been fulfilled today. There is a way. When we look on the world and we see desolation, there are people that are filling some of our large cities the last few Fridays and they're rioting because they didn't get their way politically. And they're burning buildings. There are cars and businesses being smashed because in their minds, they lost their hope. They had their hopes on a candidate, and when they didn't get it, they're acting up is what they're doing. They're not acting maturely, but they're out causing destruction because their hopes are gone. They think all is lost. But do you know this morning spiritually, No matter what condition the world is in, we have a hope this morning that we do not live in a city that has been forsaken. We are not having to exit the city. And what city are we talking about? He's talking about the city of God. The city of God. If you are saved this morning, if you love Jesus Christ, in spite of how dark the world is around us, we do not need to hang our harps up this morning. We don't need to be discouraged when we look around. I woke up the other morning after the election, and I stayed up so I wasn't surprised at the outcome. In other words, when I woke up the next morning, I knew who was the president-elect. But I woke up with a heavy heart. And it wasn't because I wanted the other candidate, but I thought this is a sad commentary on America. Look where our country is. It didn't matter which one had won. I was just feeling, look at America where we're at. But do you know this morning that that is no reason to hang our harps up? It is no reason to say all is lost. We have seen through some of our Revelation study the spiritual forces and the losses that we have suffered down through generations of people that have forsaken truth. All of us here this morning have people and loved ones that one time knew the Lord that have turned their back on God this morning. But it's still not reason to hang our harps up. We all have people that we know that have departed from the faith for because they see it differently now. And they're not walking on that highway of holiness anymore. But folks, we don't need to be discouraged. If you will turn now in the 62nd chapter. And there are many more scriptures that we won't read this morning that deal with this. But in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 12, it said, "And they shall call them." Well, let's begin reading with verse 10. He said, "Go through the gates, prepare the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people." Folks, that is a commission to us still today. Gather out the stones. If you're going to be driving down a road, have there ever been something that encumbered the way? That maybe you had to pull over and move it? There are some roads you get on and there's trees lying in the way or there's stones and you get out and you remove it. Even if you could have made it, there might be someone coming behind you that would cause damage to their vehicle. So you stop and you get out and you prepare the way. We have been commissioned this morning to cast out the stones. If there are things in your life that you know the Lord may not really be pleased with, but you think you can hold on to your salvation and still do it, think about what the influence is on the people in your life. Is it possible that what I'm doing is going to end up causing my children to lose their soul? So he said, cast out the stones. Gather them up and get them out of the way. And then he said, lift up a standard for the people. You know what a standard is? It's a flag. You lift up a flag. We just had Veterans Day and people looking at those that have protected and served in the military for this country. You know that the flag means something. When you have been on the battlefield to many people, it means more to them than those that are sitting on the couch. Because I've had friends, you have friends, they say, have bled and died for that. They were fighting for something. Here he said, lift up the ensign. Do you know that we need to lift up the ensign this morning? And the ensign is not me and it's not you. The ensign is Jesus Christ. If we will lift up Jesus Christ, that people can find hope when it seems like they're forsaken, that they can find hope because you're lifting up Christ. And then he said, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. This is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people. The redeemed of the Lord, thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. We look at history and we see those cities that have been forsaken. We look at Jerusalem and we see how it is so much desolation. The walls torn down, the houses burned, but we find that the Lord restored that place. This was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, and He said, you shall be called the people, you will be a redeemed people. A place called sought out, a city not forsaken. I want to remind you this morning in the love of God that Jesus has a strong city. Prophet said, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We say, what is our protection against this evil world? Folks, it's salvation. God has appointed salvation that we can go out into the world and we can remain apart from it. In other words, we're in the world but not of the world. Why? Because of salvation. Because the Scripture says, greater is He that is where? In you than he that is in the world. Which means you this morning, all of you, have the power to go out and face all of the evil of this world. And you can still stay strong in the power of Jesus Christ. It is because we live in a city not forsaken. Isn't that beautiful? This is what the church of God is. And you know, that's why the church of God, you all hear it often, but the church of God is not these four walls. The church of God, it's a kingdom of God. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God has not forsaken His people this morning. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven. Folks, you're come unto Mount Zion this morning. If you have the Lord Jesus in your heart this morning, you're come unto Mount Zion. You know, the walls are standing firm. You know, every year, the president gives, if he is invited by Congress, it's a formality, but Congress technically has to invite the president to come speak to them. The president gives a speech on the state of the union. Do you know what the state of the church is this morning? Standing firm. It's in good condition. The economy is wonderful. It's the economy of grace. I'm still finding that when there are things that Michael's flesh can't do, I'm still finding that there is grace and power with God to enable me to do what I couldn't do. Grace is still working good. It's the economy of grace. Do you know that the condition of the walls, they're still standing strong? The state of protection. We say, what is the condition of the military? Folks, the power and might of God's people is still strong. The Holy Spirit is still there to protect and defend and to empower. And while the heathen may rage around us, there is a city, the city of God, that is not being moved by all the troubled waters that gather around about us. And we can stand strong because the Holy Spirit is still working for those that are in the city. God has not forsaken His people, folks. There are people that want to, they think they might want to go out there, but if you will stay within the walls of salvation, you will be able to face any enemy. You will be able to overcome any obstacle. You will be able to overcome any personality issues or weaknesses in your life, and you can do it by the power of God. I am thankful to live in a city not forsaken this morning. It's in the kingdom of God. You know that it takes us receiving what, it's like someone says, where are you from? And we tell what city we're from. You know, Jesus came to offer this wonderful unforsaken city, this wonderful city of protection and blessing. He came to offer it to people Scripture over in John 1, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to such as received Him, to them gave He power to be called the sons of God. Folks, it's up to us. If you want to live in this city not forsaken, well, you can live in it. And if we accept Him, but so many people have rejected Christ. And I think about also over in the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, Paul was speaking, he said, at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you were living outside the city. You were aliens. Do you know the city of God has no illegals? Do you know there's no one that can just cross the river without getting their papers in the city of God? You've got to come through the blood. But if you come by way of the blood and you come through the door, which Jesus said, I am the door, no man cometh to the Father but by me. When you come through the door into that city, folks, we're all citizens of the household of faith. We're all citizens. Lord, help us to quit being so suspicious. In the kingdom of God, let me check your paperwork. If you've come through the blood and you're in the city, you're one of God's children. We don't have to be wondering, well, are they an illegal or are they an illegal? Oh, I'm thankful for everybody in the city. And if they're not in the city, come by way of the blood. And do you know the Lord accepts refugees? The Lord is in the business of accepting people that have been displaced from their homeland. People say, I don't know where to go. I'm in trouble. The Lord is there with His arms outstretched. And Jesus is still saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come into the city. It is not forsaken this morning, but the condition of God's church, of Zion, the New Jerusalem, it is in a good condition. Thank the Lord. We are no more strangers and foreigners. But we're fellow citizens with the household, with the fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. Keep in mind one other thing. When Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? And they went through the list. Some say you're John the Baptist and some Elias and some this and that. Jesus asked him, He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonas, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. And He said, upon this rock, in other words, upon the truth that I am the Christ, upon this rock I will build my church. Do you remember what it goes on to say? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, we can look at Hitler's army, and we can look at what happened in Vietnam in the 70s, there were those that forsook Him. We can look at what's happening in Syria, and we can look at the condition of our world today, politically and economically and morally. We can look at the decline. But folks, there is a city that is not forsaken. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is no power. There is no force. There is no election in this world that can change the strength of the kingdom of God. I am so thankful that God has not forsaken His city this morning, because God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar in the waters, and troubled though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In closing this morning, when Jesus was speaking some of the last words He spoke to His disciples in Matthew 28, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know gospel, by definition, means good news? What's the good news? The armies come and get out. No. The good news is that God has a city and it's a city not forsaken. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded them. And he didn't stop there. See, he sent them out. Go and teach them. But he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Folks, God has not broken his promise. He's saying, go into all the world, share the good news, but remember this, I'm going to be with you to the end of the world. I'm not going to forsake you, folks. There is a city that is not forsaken. And we have reason and we have cause to rejoice to live in this wonderful city of Zion, New Jerusalem. Amen.